In the name of one loving, life-giving, liberating God, amen. There's a lot of emotion in our scripture passages today. Jesus driving out the money changers from the temple evokes zeal. And in the Old Testament, when we're reading the Ten Commandments, God self-identifies as a jealous God. How do we feel about having such an emotional divinity? Often we are told that these kinds of emotions, jealousy and anger, are negative emotions. And sometimes we are even told that we should suppress all emotion and maintain a stoic or rational disposition. This is in order to achieve the highest height of human reason. And in our scripture today, offers us a counter opinion. Today's scripture reminds us that emotions are good. Emotions are God-given. And in fact, God experiences them and experienced them. So they are hallowed by God, made holy by God. Emotions make us fully alive. And feeling and using our emotions make us more ourselves, more of who God made us to be. In these two passages today, we encounter God through emotion, who draws near to us through emotion. And we see that our own emotions might be a way that we can draw closer to God. Feelings are good. But good is not a feeling. You cannot feel good. Good is an evaluation of your emotions versus the context. You won't find good on a big emotion wheel or chart. You've probably already told someone this morning, "I'm feeling good." That's an evaluation of your emotions. Maybe what you are feeling is calm, peaceful, serene, affirmed, supported, loved, maybe even energetic or excited. And that's a good emotion because you're here at church, the rain has stopped, the sun has come out, you're surrounded by people that you know, people who would support you. So feeling calm and serene is good. It matches the context. If the building were on fire and everyone is running around in chaos as it falls apart and you were sitting in your pew feeling good and calm and serene, that would be bad. So the context matters when we evaluate these emotions. So we must pay attention to the context of these emotions when we're reading this scripture. What's going on in the Old Testament passage today? It's the Ten Commandments passage. But the Ten Commandments are really the explainer of the key part of this passage. The first line is what's really going on here. God tells Moses, "I am the Lord your God." This is God making a covenant with Moses and his people. God saying, "I am going to be your God, and you are going to be my people." And God continues, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery." No longer is God saying, "I am the great I am." God is defining God's self through relationship with God's people. I am a God who is in relationship. This part is often taken as prologue to the Ten Commandments, but the Ten Commandments are really the examination of what does it mean to be in a relationship. Some of you may remember, there's this comedy bit. A brief, I'll get to a theologian later, but first comedy. There's an old comedy bit about God giving Moses the Ten Commandments that frames it in this kind of cliche that you may have experienced where you're in a relationship and you're dating and you want to make it official. So you have this relationship, we used to call it a DTR, define the relationship conversation. You know what I'm talking about? You sit down and you say, okay, we both like what's going on here, but now we're going to make it official. The first question is, well, what does that mean? And the first answer you usually come up with, well, we're going to not see other people. So this is God and Moses talking. We're going to not see other people. Commandment number one, have no other gods before me. Okay, what else does it mean to be in a relationship? Well, I want to be important in your life. You know, if you're out with your friends or you're at work and I call you, I want you to get back to me right away. Make no idols. Okay, this is good. We're going along here. Okay, I don't want you to trash talk me. Don't use the Lord's name in vain. Got it. We have to have a date night once a week. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. It's important to me that you respect my work. I am the creator of the earth and all these people around you, so don't kill them. Don't kill them, don't lie to them, don't cheat them, don't steal from them. You get the point. It's a great comedy bit, and it's great because it reveals and points to the importance of the Ten Commandments as an invitation to be in relationship with God. This is how we go about doing that. And God says, if we don't do this, God will be jealous. That means that what we do affects God's emotion. That's what it means to be in relationship with someone. This is something we talk about in marriage prep. We often think that when someone is committing to marriage, they're going to make this vow to love them forever. But really, when you make your marriage vows, what you're really saying is that you're going to allow this person to make you matter than any other person on the planet. Saying, I choose you to really get under my skin in a way that nobody else can, and I will not walk away. It's about love, and it's about anger, and that's what draws us close. So this jealous God that we serve, worship, and love, through jealousy reveals the extent to which God wants to be in relationship with us. God is making himself vulnerable to us. We can affect how God feels. Wow. God makes God's self emotionally available to us. How much are we starving for emotional availability in our relationships? God offers that to us in this relationship, and God wants it to us, wants it from us as well. In the gospel today, we see this desire for relationship and emotional availability acted out. Jesus, the incarnate made flesh, acts out this desire to cast out anything that gets in the way of our relationship. The focus of the temple business has become a place where money changers do their business. And it's no longer a house of prayer for all people. Jesus is not criticizing the temple system, which includes money changing as a necessary practice. Jesus is angered by the shift in focus from prayer to money. Jesus is angered because the people have let something get in the way of their relationship with God. So with whips, Jesus drives all that out. Drives it out so that we can have a restored relationship that's not deterred or distracted with no interference. And a brief side note, this episode also alludes that the practices of money changing in the temple were exploitative of the poor and abuse of power by the temple middlemen. So Jesus is also acting out anger at the mistreatment of his people. We could label it as zeal, but it's a compassionate zeal that strives to reform the relationship God has with God's own people. Jealousy and anger can be destructive, but like all emotion, it depends on the context to determine if it's good or bad. And here, I think they are good emotions. These emotions are reflective of God's love for us and desire to be in relationship with us. So if God uses emotion to connect with us, then the corollary might also be true, that we can connect with God through our emotions. Rowan Williams, the theologian and former Archbishop of Canterbury and the author of the book that we're studying during Lent and Adult Ed, has this theory that we do not engage in the fullness of our humanity that God gave to us. He posits that we only use about 15% of ourselves. And he believes that when we engage our spiritual selves, that's when we become fully alive. This is the purpose of the church. We come here so that we might feel fully alive. Our observance of Lent is a great context to feel our whole range of emotions and draw closer to God. The liturgy and devotions of Holy Week and Lent are a bit more theatrical, a bit more elaborate. And all of this is designed in order to evoke all of our emotions, the full range, in hopes that through that emotion we can draw closer to God. Throughout the season of Lent, there are myriad opportunities to draw closer to God through emotional experiences. One of those experiences, washing each other's feet, might bring up some emotions for you. Anybody? Depending on how you feel about washing someone's feet, might think about how God feels about some things about us. Experiencing that emotion is a way to draw closer to God. Keeping watch through the lonely hours after Maundy Thursday, all through the night, praying by oneself in the chapel might bring up some emotions that help you connect with God. Forming small groups where we learn and share with one another, making ourselves vulnerable, is one way to feel closer to God through our emotions. One way that we do this is the Stations of the Cross service, which is designed to meditate on each step of the journey of Jesus from his condemnation by Pilate to the tomb and think about the different emotions that might come up. And the version we do here at St. Cross asks members of the church to create art and write reflections, asks them to share their own emotional response, that we might draw closer to one another through the devotion as well. As we continue our Lenten journey toward the tomb, I invite you to reflect on your emotions. Know that they are given by God and blessed by God. God is using your emotions to invite you into deeper relationship with the Creator and yourself and one another. And that's good news. God welcomes your whole self with all your wonderful emotions. So bring your whole self to God, not just your good emotions, not just your big ideas or theories or good works. Bring your whole emotional self with all those challenging and upsetting and uncomfortable emotions and present them to God. God already knows it anyways. God, who made our innermost being, knows our hearts. So why not just be honest about it with God and with ourselves? Bring your whole range of emotions to God and see how deep your relationship will go and how alive you might become. Amen.